So the subject changes today. The Levites are installed. Everybody's doing everything they have to do. And the Torah returns now to a narrative that precedes all of this. It precedes the Jewish people's journeys. And that is the celebration of Pesach on its very first anniversary. And so in the third reading, which is chapter 9, the Torah talks to us about the Jewish people making a Korban Pesach. And the Torah says in verse 4, Vayidaber Meshez b'nei Yisrael, Meshez spoke to the Jewish people, Laseis es haPosach, they should make the Korban Pesach. The Baal HaTurim notes that the word La'asot is spelled in incomplete fashion, what's called Vav, Chaser Vav, missing of La'asot. And the reason it's spelled with only four words instead of the typical five words is because the Jewish people did this only once. Sorry, letters. It only happened once in the Midbar. Because subsequent to the first anniversary of Pesach, subsequent to the first anniversary of Pesach, the Jewish people did not bring a second Korban Pesach. Because that whole 40 years was not really mituchnan, as they say. It was not really planned. It wasn't supposed to be. And as a result, the Torah kind of tucks this narrative into the folds of Parshas Baal Leischa. It's kind of like somewhere in the middle of the Parsha. We're not very proud of the situation. Now, when this happened, there were people who were ritually impure and they could not participate. And that's where today's lesson is going to pick itself up from. We're going to pick up from chapter 9, verse 6. After hearing that the Jewish people did everything they're supposed to do, Vayaso asa Pesach, Barishen, Barba, Asa Yem, L'chedish ben Arboyim, in Pasuk Hey, in verse 5, the Jewish people made the Korban Pesach on the 14th day in the afternoon, by Midbar Sinai, Kechol Ashatziva Hashem es Moshe, exactly as they were commanded from God by Moses. Kein also bnei Yisrael, that's how the Jewish people did it. And Rashi goes on to explain that Moshe Rabbeinu communicated the details of the Yom Tov in its proper day, and then when it was time for it to be done, he communicated it to a second time. Okay, so they brought a Korban Pesach. Says the Torah, "Vayehi anoshim asher hayu tameim lenefesh adam." There were these people who were tamei; they were in a state of ritual impurity. And they were tameim lenefesh adam, for the soul of man, which is a euphemism. It means for people who came in contact with the dead, with human remains. V'lo yachlu la'aseis ha-pesach, they were unable to participate in the making of the Korban Pesach, v'yemohu on that day. And so, v'yikrivu, they drew close, l'fnei Moshe v'lifnei Aaron, before Moses and Aaron, b'yom hahu, on that very day. There's much that needs to be understood in this verse, in this pasuk. So let's go to Rashi first, who really talks about the last part of the pasuk, without going into the details from Rashi's perspective. How they became ritually impure is actually less relevant to us. The fact is, they were ritually impure. And because they were ritually impure, they were not able to take part in the Korban Pesach, and because they couldn't take part in the Korban Pesach, they were distraught. They were deeply unhappy. And they wanted to participate. So they came before Moshe and before Aaron. So the obvious question is, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who receives the mitzvahs, and he's the teacher of the Jewish people. Aaron does lots of nice spiritual stuff in the Beis HaMikdash, representing them as the Kohen Gadol. But if you have a question of how to observe a mitzvah, you want to understand if there is an allowance for something within the framework of Torah, who would you go to, Moshe or to Aaron?
Moshe.
Obviously Moshe. So why did they first go to Moshe? It's like, oh, Moshe doesn't know. Maybe Aaron would know. How would Aaron know if Moshe doesn't know? So Rashi says that this occurred when they happened to be together. Okay. They were both sitting in the Beis HaMidrash. It's Erev Pesach. Everybody's so busy. What are Moshe and Aaron doing? They're sitting in the Beis HaMidrash. They're learning Torah. What should Moshe and Aaron do? So they came in the Beis HaMidrash. And they asked them. Rashi says, even though in the scripture it says that they came lifnei Moshe vilifnei Aaron, it's impossible to say that first it went to Moshe and then afterwards it went to Aaron. If Moshe would know the answer, so Aaron, how would Aaron know? If Moshe doesn't know, Aaron learned everything from Moshe. He came to Moshe, Moshe didn't say, you know what? Moshe doesn't know. Let's go to Aaron. He'll know. That doesn't make any sense. How would that be possible?
So they were a chavrusa?
What, they're a chavrusa? You could say they were a chavrusa. I mean, like Moshe Rabbeinu would review the lessons privately with Aaron as soon as he heard them. And then he would call on Aaron's children, then he would call on the elders, and then the whole Jewish people. Yeah? So they were sitting together, and that's why they went over to them. They went over to Moshe and Aaron. Wait. Now, interestingly, when did this happen?
Before Erev Pesach.
Well, obviously, it actually happened in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. This is a Gemara in Sukkah, Masechta Sukkah, on page Daf Chafei, on page 25. The Gemara talks about this whole narrative. So the Ritva says it happened in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, late afternoon of Erev Pesach. When you bring a Korban Pesach.
The Korban Pesach was before Mincha, no?
Korban Pesach was after Mincha. In Bein Harabayim. Bein Harabayim means that the sun rises in the east, goes all the way up till the apogee, right, to the highest point, and after it reaches the apogeum, it begins its descent. So its descent is between the two poles of its descent. It's the apogeum, and then when the sun actually sets, that's called Bein Harabayim.
Why did they wait until last minute?
Why they waited till last minute? Good question. Hold the thought. Anyway, that's when they came. The Tosfos says there was still enough time to get sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma, with the water mixed with ashes. It's still something could have been done. But that's when they came. Now, why were they Tamei l'nefesh Adam? Rashi doesn't say. It's not from Rashi's perspective. It's not relevant. But Rabbi Yosi Aglili, in the Gemara in Sukkah, there's three opinions. Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion is they were carrying the coffin of Yosef. So because they're carrying the coffin of Yosef, because Moshe Rabbeinu brought out the coffin, and then these people took over, really, from Moshe Rabbeinu, carrying the coffin, they were Tamei. Rabbi Akiva says, this is Mishael El Tzofan, who were the relatives of Aaron HaKohen, who carried away the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. I mean, Nadav and Avihu died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, first day of Nisan. This is exactly 2 weeks later. So they were still Tamei from then. Rabbi Yitzchak says that there was somebody who needed to be buried, and there was no choice. It's called a mes mitzvah. And even though it was Erev Pesach, they went and they did what had to be done, because it's a mitzvah. So in any way you look at it, these people doing a mitzvah. Whether they're carrying Yosef's coffin, which in some ways they replaced Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like doing Moshe Rabbeinu a personal favor, like Moshe Rabbeinu Shluchim. So Moshe shouldn't have to carry it. See, he has his emissaries carrying it for him. Mishael and Al-Tzofen were actually called by Moshe. They were instructed. Moshe said, go right now and take Nadav and Avihu. And then you have this idea of mes mitzvah. It's for sure a mitzvah. He did a mitzvah.
So we can assume that the Midbar Sinai was full of Jewish corpses also?
Can we assume that Midbar Sinai is full of Jewish graves? Absolutely. It has to be. Where all the people who died, where did they get buried? Wow. Has to be.
The whole generation died off?
The whole generation of Meraglim, of course. They, in fact, ask a better question. How did they manage to, every year in Tisha B'Av, they used to die. Thousands of people used to die every year in Tisha B'Av. Whole generation died out, 600,000.
But this is well before that. I
mean, this is not so well before that, but it's a year before. So, but think about it, 600,000 people die in the course of 40 years. Where are 600,000 graves? Or better yet, it had to be, well, you had 40 years for 600,000 people to die. So do the math. You're an accountant. How many people have died? How many people have to die every year?
50,000.
Tell me, how did they bury 50,000 people in one afternoon? You know the answer is?
They dug their own grave.
Everybody dug their own grave.
Really?
And they went to sleep in the night of Tisha B'Av in the grave. And if they were up in the morning, they got out of the grave. And if they weren't up, then people buried them.
It's freaky.
That was Tisha B'Av. That's how we observed Tisha B'Av for 40 years. It has been a miserable day for us for a very long time.
But even in Midbar Sinai, it was Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, here was Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was everybody dying.
It's not Tisha B'Av because
everybody said Kaddish on the same day. Can you imagine everybody was fighting to be lead the services? Imagine how much mashka they had. And they couldn't give any l'chaim because it was Tisha B'Av.
That's one kind of a chavrinya, no?
Yeah. But anyway, this is a totally different subject. We'll get to that subject of the Meraglim and Tisha B'Av. But that was, anyway, be this may, as Nathan correctly said, this is before it. The Ibn Ezra, who always takes this Pashtun, simplistic approach, he says, like, one second. Like, you had a camp of 600,000 men from 20 to 60. Okay, you had all the boys and the girls under 20. And then you had everybody, all the men and women over 60. Moshe Rabbeinu himself and Aaron are older. And then you have all the women from 20 to 60. So you're talking 3 million people. He says, like, you have a camp of 3.5 million people. Is it possible that on some days there was no funerals? 3 million people. It's not possible. There have to be funerals every day. He said, "What is it? It's not even a question." It doesn't bother quoting Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili. He says, "It's not even a question." He says, "We don't have to look for explanations as to who they buried. Somebody needed to get buried. There was always somebody needed to get buried. Unfortunately, the Chevra Kadisha was busy. 3.5 million people. It's going to be fatalities."
So basically, people stop living as long as Noah and all these generations.
Oh, people stopped living long in Noah long before.
Long before.
Yeah. So anyway, so they come before Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's their complaint? Their official complaint is verse 7. Vayemru ha'anoshim ha'hema. These people said, they loved him. Anachnu t'meim l'nefesh adam. We are impure. We became in contact with the dead. Lomani gora. Why should we be lose out? Why should we be held back? Lebilti hikriv es korban Hashem. Not being allowed to bring the korban of Hashem. B'moyadai in its right time. B'seich b'nei Yisrael with the rest of the Jewish people. We got a complaint. We want a partner too. You're ritually impure. So what? We're doing a mitzvah. We're ritually impure. We still want to have a part in the Korban Pesach. What's Moshe's response? He doesn't dismiss them. He doesn't say, stop being born to kvetch. He says, okay, I hear you. Let's rise and hear what Hashem will command. Hashem will surely answer. Interesting, how Moshe Rabbeinu is certain Hashem is going to answer. And he's also not dismissive of them. He believes they have the right to this complaint. And he says, engage with them. He says, okay, it's a good point. I don't know the answer. It's also not a shame that he doesn't know the answer. A lot of things about Moshe's response. Let's take a look at them in verse 7. See Rashi, Lama Nigara. So these people who were in this state of ritual impurity, according to many opinions, were actually tevulayom, which means that they had already experienced the sprinkling of the ashes, they had already gone to the mikveh, they just needed to wait until it was night. And by the time it's night, they've become ritually pure. And they should be able to eat the Korban Pesach. But the problem is, in order to be able to eat the Korban Pesach, you need to participate in the Korban Pesach, you need to formally be included in the actual Korban, but they couldn't formally be included, because during the bringing of the Korban, which is in the afternoon, they were in a state of ritual impurity. So Rashi says, Amar Lahem, Moshe Rabbeinu initially said to them, what do you want? Ein kadoshim kareven betumah. You can't bring holy matters in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring offerings when you're in a state of ritual impurity. Amar Lahem, they said to him, so yizarek hadam aleinu. Let the blood be dashed on the Mizbeach on our behalf. V'yeyachel habasar l'tahirim. But the meat will be eaten by people who are ritually pure, because by tonight we'll be ritually pure. So they have this, it was like almost like on a technicality. The carbon couldn't be brought with them in mind because they weren't yet ritually pure. But it said, but tonight we'll be ritually pure. So let the blood be dashed, let the carbon be brought, and tonight we're going to be ritually pure. So Moshe saw how tenacious they were. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Imdu Vashma, let's rise and see. I don't know. And from here you see the incredible nature of Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the only human being, the only mortal ever in history, you can say, Imdu Vashma. Imdu, Hashem will speak to us. Okay, let's hear what Hashem says. Prophets that would do who knows what to try to get a revelation. You never know when it's going to come to you. You never know when Hashem is going to speak to you. When it was only on Hashem's watch, so to speak. When Hashem would decide to speak, that's when the prophet would get a prophecy. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no problem. Let me schedule an appointment. Let's rise. Hashem will come. And this is, Rashi says, K'talmud ha-muftach l'shmaya mipi rabbi, like a prize pupil who is certain that his mentor will always find time for him. Ashra yulud isha. About this we say, fortunate is a mortal, man born of a woman. It wasn't a Moshe Rabbeinu, it was an angel. It's a regular human. Shekach muftach, it could be so certain. So kol's man shahayir reitze, whenever he wanted, hayim medaber mashchina, he was able to have the experience of conversing, communing with God. Now Rashi notes, here we're going to have a portion of the Torah which we didn't know of before. How do we know we didn't know before? Moshe ben himself didn't know it. If Moshe ben himself didn't know it, clearly it was never given. So when did this mitzvah get given? The 613 mitzvahs. This is one of the mitzvahs. When did it get given? The answer is clearly at this point, at this juncture, when the people came and complained. So Rashi says, really, this parsha should have been given through Moshe Rabbeinu like the rest of the Torah. However, Elisha Zachu Elu Shatei Omer Al Yudehem. These people merited that as if they knocked on the door and God responded. They merited to bring forth this divine revelation. It's not like they changed the Torah. This was always going to be in the Torah. But it was their demands, it was their chagrin, and their feeling of being left out that ultimately brought it forth. Hashem arranges that meritorious things happen through those who are meritorious, those who are deserving. And because they came with that kind of fervor, and because they demanded, and because they wanted to be part of something holy, that's why they deserved that the mitzvah should be given through them. And it wasn't given directly through Moshe. Okay, so what kind of lesson do we learn from this? Let's take a look now. Who were these people? Now it's interesting to note, Vayemru ha'anoshim ahem, the Sifri says they themselves. They didn't send anybody else. They didn't appoint a shliach, a messenger, to go to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. They themselves came. Page Kuf Memhei. This is a fascinating overview of what happened here, which is lifted from the Rebbe's talks. Chaf Aleph. Page Kuf Memches. Kuf Memches. These people said, what was their complaint? Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We are impure. Lo mani gara, why should we be excluded? Seder hadvarim shol hanoshim derish bir. The order of these words actually almost begs for clarification. It says, it's like flagged, like ask a question here. Something's not right. What's not right? Madua pasro hanoshim ba'amira. Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. They began by answering their question before they asked it. They said, we are impure. So you know the answer. That's why you can't bring a korban. Because you're impure. Ari lechayra hayaleim lahatzik tchila esabasis lebakashosim. The first thing they should have advanced was the foundation of their concern, or the foundation of the complaint they were lodging. Lama nigara. Their issue, their complaint was, why should we be held back? Why should we be left behind? All of the Jewish people are bringing a Korban Pesach. Everybody together is celebrating the first anniversary of the Exodus. And we're left out. We're not part of this. That should be the first thing they say. Loma nigara. We say, okay, I know we're ritually impure, but still, don't you think you could find some kind of opportunity for us to do this anyway? Lakla achar mikain. Only after they first stayed out their issue, bring forth their issue, then they should mention, here's our issue. Here's the issue, is we want to bring a korban. Okay, so bring a korban. Well, we can't really bring a korban. Why? Because we're ritually impure. The ritually impure is what prevents them. It's not what they're looking for. What is their, if you want a mivukash, what's their goal? What do they seek? They seek participation, inclusion. They're seeking inclusion. Imagine, if you will, a person would come, and then Nebuch, they have special needs, or they're handicapped, they're not able to get around, you have this building which is not friendly to no ramps, no elevators. So, person would come and say, "Why am I being excluded? Why am I being excluded? I want inclusion. I'm like everybody else."
Rabbi, can I just clarify one thing? Does this mean that because they're impure, that their family will be able to participate in the Korban Pesach?
Not necessarily. The family is individuals. The children obviously couldn't participate unless they had parents who did it for them. Maybe the mother did it for them. Children could be part of it if, as long as there's a parent, there's a guardian who takes them along.
Okay, so to clarify then, somebody in their family could bring it.
That's correct.
And then they would be ritually pure
no.
in the evening.
No, that was their point. Let somebody bring it. It's not just the family, people with many families together. Let somebody bring it, then we'll participate in that. We'll come to the Seder. No. You have to be in a state of ritual purity when the korban is brought. For example, a person who is not circumcised, doesn't have a bris milah, cannot bring the korban. Can't bring a korban. So what would happen if somebody says, okay, bring the korban, the mohel is coming this afternoon, bring the korban for me, by tonight I'll be ready. Could you do that? The answer is no. Why? Because you have to be in a state of readiness at the time of the korban being brought.
Okay.
The demand is one of inclusion. Why are we not being included? It's secondary. Instead, they first come and say, we're not being included because A, B, and C. We demand inclusion. That's secondary. The issue here is inclusion. So they should have asked right away for inclusion. The Yesh Leimar, the Rebbe therefore suggests that the words Anachnu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam, we are impure. That's not a detail as to why they might not be included, but in fact, this is Mahave Basis. This serves as the foundation for their entire complaint. We want to be included. And the Rebbe explains. Miderech HaTeva, by virtue of nature, as the Ibn Ezra says, Kishemeduber b'tzibur gadol shal bnei adam, when you're dealing with so many people, lo yitochen sheyavru yomim achadim mibli sheyifter echad adam min ha'olam. It's not possible that you should have endless days when nobody's going to pass on. It's just not possible. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to die. The yiyut seirech lasek b'halavayaseh b'kvirasei. People will have to be there at the funeral. Somebody's got to escort this person. It's a mitzvah to go to a funeral. Somebody's got to bury the person. So these would be the idea of a mes mitzvah. However it might have been. The Rebbe is saying Rashi doesn't favor the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, which are special circumstances, big tzaddikim. People would have died. It'd be like Rabbi Yitzchak said, there's a mes mitzvah. Since the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is something which is incumbent on every individual Jew, it's not something the Jewish people bring. Every individual has to do this. If ritual impurity is going to prevent somebody's inclusion in the Korban Pesach, so we find ourselves then in a situation she mitzvah sakorban pesach, that the mitzvah of bringing the korban pesach le'olam lo tuchel iskayem kitikuna, will never happen right. It will never happen the way it's supposed to happen. Why? Because the mitzvah of every individual. Will it ever be possible that every single Jew will bring a korban pesach? No. Why not?
Not everybody will be reached at birth.
Because there's always going to be somebody dying.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Shouldn't be somebody who has a funeral. There's always somebody sitting shiva. There's always something happened to somebody. You're not dealing with 100 people, you're not dealing with 500 people, you're not dealing with 1,000 people, you're dealing with 3 million people. And then the Jewish people population increased. You deal with millions of people, there's always going to be somebody who's in a state of ritual impurity. It's not possible any other way. And because it's not possible any other way, zu eifoi ta'anosim shalanosim. This then is the complaint that's being lodged. Because we are ritually impure, forget it, we're ritually impure by. This helps us understand why Rashi does not favor the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili or of Rabbi Akiva as to who it was. It's not important, it doesn't matter who it was. Kiloimar, tumaseinu mitumas meis. Our ritual impurity hails from death. And death is part of life. Unfortunately, death and taxes. Can't get away from it. Death is part of life. The cycle of life cannot exclude death. And so if we're going to have a mitzvah that every single Jew has to participate in, and death is going to prevent the family or the Chever Kaddisha, the people who are involved in participating, what is necessarily going to always happen? It's a chelik built in nifred miseder achayim. Death is an inseparable part of life. That's the cycle of nature. You can't get away from it. You can't escape death. Okay, we're going to have a new community here. Nobody's dying. That's it. No death is happening here. No such thing. So this is their complaint. Because this is part of life itself, this is not an extraordinary event. Not like Rabbi Akiva says that there is an extraordinary event to the Nadav and Aviyu. Or Rabbi Elke, Rabbi Yossi says that they were carrying the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik. No, this is an event, part of life. If it's part of life, and everybody's supposed to bring the Korban Pesach, so Eich Yitochen Shemitza Korban Pesach, Lo Yilmet Eskayim Vishlim Musa. How is it possible that there will be a Korban Pesach, which is a comment upon every single Jew, and it will be impossible for that mitzvah ever to be done right? There will never be a circumstance, a situation, where there won't be some people who won't be able to participate. How will that work? God gave the Jewish people a mitzvah, and at the same time, it's a mitzvah that somebody's always not going to be fulfilling. It's not fair. How could such a thing be? Tomid yigaru mimenu elu shem tmeil nefesh adam. There's always going to be those excluded. Akach eshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To this very complaint, God responds and he says, Yesh achen yesh tzedek ptanusam. You were worried. You thought maybe they're asking about their family. But the Rebbe explains the question is not just about their families. They're not just worried not only about themselves, they're worried about future generations. They're worried about, they said, this mitzvah, by its virtue, by its essential amino acids, it's a mitzvah which simply doesn't seem right. Because it's a mitzvah where always people are going to be excluded. It's not us, he said. It's not the first year. Ever will people be excluded, because ever will death be a part of life. And as long as death's a part of life, prevent it. Al-kach eshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To this God answered, Achin yesh tzadik b'tan osam. They have a point. A very powerful point. The Henik Lahemis have Shardis Lakaimis Mitzvah Pesach Sheni. Hashem says they too can participate. So invariably, there's always going to be people who can't do the first mitzvah the first time. What does Hashem do? Provide us with a second time. The Ma'ura Zu, from this whole narrative, Yesh Nitan Lilmaid, we can learn, Hayra Hanigas, the Kolachet Meitanu. We have an amazing lesson for all of us. Gambi Amenu, Toyanim Rabim, Taina Daimel Zu. There are many people who advance the same complaint, who come with the same issues in our day and age. They will say, "Amnam ritzeinenu az lichyos chayei teira u'mitzvos mleim." We want to live a Torah lifestyle. We want to live a Torah lifestyle. Ulam sidrei chayim ma'arimim bifaneinu. Life is getting in the way. We want to do the right thing. Life doesn't allow us to. There are issues which are ma'inim ma'itanu. They withhold from us. They have sharis lekach. So Ketzad, Efshel Deirish Meitana Kadosh Baruch Hu Lumo Teiru Kaim Mitzvos. How could it be that God's making these demands? I want you to come down with the minyan. I want you to learn Torah every day. I want you to do all these Jewish things. And it's impossible. Life doesn't allow it. It's a beautiful theory. We would love to participate. Life does not allow us to participate. Life simply doesn't allow for it. And this is a complaint that people could have. It's not fair. God asks for the impossible. What's the answer? It's the same answer. Same answer God gave then, same answer God gives today. People say, Lama Nigara, why shouldn't we be included? Things seem unfair. In our parsha, we see, if a Yid really wants, a Yid comes with every fiber of his being. And what does he want? Money, fame, fun. What does he want? A mitzvah. I want to be included in a mitzvah. That's what he wants. I want to do Hashem's will together with everybody else. Koyev, b'chol ma'idei. He's bothered to his very core. Every iota of his existence is bothered by this reality that life has prevented him from participating fully in the Jewish experience. V'zoyek mikiras libi. He cries from the core of his heart. He cries out, Lama nigora. How come we're not being included? Ah, well, in that case, my friends, muftachu, he's guaranteed, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yanakle, Esatnoyim, Hanachutzim, Hashem will provide for him the opportunity, Lekayim, Eskol HaMitzvahs Karoi, to be all the mitzvahs that you'll also have an opportunity to participate and to be included. And so, bottom line, the takeaway is, Hashem always gives us a second chance. When life gets in the way, when things seem unfair, when we don't have an opportunity, we see from the Parsha, Hashem will always give us another opportunity, and Hashem always arranges for each and every one of us to be included.